Hard Rock Cafe is celebrating its 40th birthday this year with a travelling exhibition of memorabilia relating to the greats of the music world who frequented its many outlets the world over. Entitled The Art of Hard Rock, the exhibition, which opens to the Prague public on January 12th at the Dvořák Contemporary Art Gallery in Dlouhá Street, is a collection of musical instruments, paintings and drawings donated by the likes of Jim Morrison, Eric Clapton, Michael Jackson, Frank Zappa, Roger Daltrey, John Entwistle, Paul Stanley, Ringo Starr, Lou Reed and Billy Idol. Oliver McGillick of Hard Rock Cafe explained how the idea of a travelling exhibition came about.
As you know, the Hard Rock has a huge collection of memorabilia around the world. We have over 70,000 unique pieces. In there, we also had some artworks. But mainly in the cafes, what we have exhibited are all these guitars and pieces of clothing and accessories of the rock stars. And we didn't have many of them exhibited. We have them in the Orlando the warehouse, as we like to call it, for memorabilia. And the idea was, let's take all the artwork we have out of our collection and choose the most valuable ones and make an exhibition for this. You know, we're going to have 40 years anniversary. Let's do this, you know, because it's never seen before artworks. They were just in the, they were very secure in the warehouse. It was very valuable pieces, and let's take them out, you know, to the daylight. So we started this traveling exhibition. It started first in Venice as a celebration of the 40th anniversary, and it continued through Rome to Prague. And it's basically tributes to this city because it's highly cultural cities of Europe. Prague, Rome, and Venice are very, very classic when it comes to art, visual arts, and theaters and galleries are very high here. So that's basically why Prague is the third city to come to. It also is the biggest hard rock in Europe, so that was another reason. On the artworks themselves here...
All of them were donated by artists, were there, or were there, were some of them bought in auctions?
Yes, exactly. Some of them were donated and some of them were bought in charity auctions. What hard rock, as they have the philanthropy, what they do is they just go to an auction for charity and they buy these artworks and they also want to donate to a good cause. So most of them were donated and some of them also were bought in auctions.
What are some of the most precious or best pieces here?
The most valuable piece is probably Paul Stanley's Oil on Canvas. It's an untitled, so we don't actually know what it should be. But basically, the value of this picture goes up to hundreds of thousand crowns. So that is the most valuable piece we have. As you can see, it's got its own wall designated for itself, so that's a big thing. But I mean, basically, if I talk about all the stuff we have here, not everything are only rock stars. A lot of them are people, artists, who designated their lives to portraying rock stars or music celebrities. For example, David Oxtoby or Robert Grossman, they all were artists who most of their life they spent portraying musical celebrities.
So who are some of the rock musicians or the big names who big have names. Actually turned their hand at drawing or at art or at painting?
The big names what we have most of here, we have John Entwistle and Pete Townshend from The Who. John Entwistle was a really, really... He was a precision painter, you know. He was a drawer more, a painter. And he was very interested. It was a big, big hobby. On tour, he used to have all these papers and everything, drawing everything. It's basically his bandmates a lot. As you can see, we have the portrait of himself as well, a portrait of Pete Townshend as well. So he would just drive around in his tour bus painting stuff, you know, and drawing his bandmates and people around. So he was one of those who could... They could basically just turn around and stop doing music and start doing art, you know, and they would be really good. You know, Pete Townshend himself, he wasn't much of a painter. He just made this little crayon drawing of a clown and his daughter, which is looks more like a five-year-old, I guess. But all these musicians, the thing about them is they were artists. So the one part which you cannot delete from them, you cannot put that away, it's artists. So visual art is an art as well, and all of them inclined to do this in their free time because it's a form of expression, liberation. So that's why all these musicians basically are painting, most of them.
So it says something of the inner world.
Yes, exactly. For example, Billy Idol's self-portrait over there, which is scribbled incredibly, hard to say what it is. It's he was a neurotic. And if you look at the self-portrait, it's just dribbling around with a marker.
This is like doodling, yes.
Yes, it's just doodling, and it's very, very abstract, not telling much, which is quite true about Billy Idol. He was very, very... he wasn't very transparent.
There are several self-portraits. There is...
Yes, we have John Entwistle's self-portrait... Michael Jackson's self-portrait, of course, which is very interesting because Michael Jackson, he portrayed himself without his face, just with his little sparkling glove and his hat. And even though you can't see his face, basically you can tell it is the King of Pop because he's got his glove. And that is showing what an icon he is.
I understand that you had a psychological study done on some of the artist's works.
Yes, exactly. It's actually quite amazing. We took just a couple of maybe five pictures, but what we got was a 20-page psychological review. Very interesting stuff, because a lot of these musicians were dark minds, because as we all know, music comes from the hardest times, usually all the best times of a person's life. And most of the songs were made in depression or in very high, and there's nothing in between usually. So a lot of those paintings you can see, there's something about them, something dark or something very bright. So I have to go through the whole study yet, but from what I read now, there's a lot to be known about this. If these people guests come in, they will get to know lots about the inner mind of these musicians, and there's a lot to explore in there.
Hard Rock Cafe, which is now established in 52 countries, including Prague, takes pride in not just offering great food and service, but a friendly, laid-back atmosphere that attracted and continues to attract the greats of the music world. Rita Gilligan, now a cultural attaché for Hard Rock, recalls the days when she was hired as the very first waitress in London's Hard Rock Cafe.
I got the job in the Hard Rock, and it was just fascinating. What used to fascinate me was my husband was a suit and tie man, and I'd come into work and they'd have long hair, loads of chains, big platform shoes, velvet jackets, and they were smoking dope. They were just high-fiving each other, drinking off the neck of the bar. It was just such a change from where I came from. And the Beatles would come in, Freddie Mercury came in, Eric Clapton. The first guitar to go on the wall was Eric Clapton. He came in one day, and Isaac, who was one of the founders, was behind the bar, and he said to Isaac, give Isaac the case. And Isaac opened the case. He said, I don't play the goddamn guitar. So they looked and they said, let's hang it on the wall. So about a month later, Pete Townsend heard about this, and he sent his down with a note saying, mine's as good as his. Today we've got a collection of 87,000 pieces. We're in 52 countries. We have 179 Hard Rocks, and we rotate the memorabilia every 5 years. The most expensive piece we've got in the world is Jimi Hendrix's Flying V, and that was the last guitar he played in the Isle of Wight before he passed away, God bless him. And we have it in London. It's worth probably over $1 million, you know? And I sometimes get the pleasure of holding it. But it's very, very iconic, and it's just Hard Rock. And, you know, what was amazing for me when I first started there as well, when the stars came in, just drinking out of the neck of the bottle. I was used to serving people drinking out of cut glass, you know, and then they were picking up and just eating the burgers with their hand. We had to teach people, because going back 40 years ago, the only people that had out were barristers, lawyers and that, and then they didn't want to pick up the hamburger. They wanted the four cloths on the table, you know, and we sort of changed all that, and we said, now come on, John, you have to, or Mr. So-and-so, just get the bottle there. And today it's just a given, isn't it? Everyone does it today, and we're proud to say we started all that.
Is the atmosphere still there?
Oh, the atmosphere is still there. The atmosphere is still there. It's the unique spirit of the Hard Rock Cafe. It's the atmosphere is there. We care. It's value for money. We care about the people that come in. I always say, you know, I don't care whether you're having a cup of coffee for £1 and he's having a £500 bottle of champagne. You know what? I treat you both the same, because I want you to come back.
Rita Gilligan there recalling her time as a waitress in London's Hard Rock Cafe, where she spent over 40 years. The exhibition in Prague is accompanied by a number of side events, such as a live painting session by a number of well-known Czech artists, a bloggers' conference on the future of the Czech music industry, and screenings of legendary rock concerts. Yeah.